name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom for
good morning. It is great to see all of you out there. We've got some new faces, it looks like, out there in the crowd this morning. We want to say good morning and welcome to you all. Please make yourselves at home this morning. You guys are just part of the family this morning, so we're all here to celebrate and worship this morning, hopefully. How many of you got blown away this past week? I know it was just a tad bit on the windy side, so hopefully you guys are all safe and good this morning. The pastor is still away on sabbatical this morning, so be in prayer. Continue to be in prayer that this is not only a time of relaxation for him, but it's also a time for spiritual growth for him. Amen. I know the start of his trip, he had a little bit of illness that he was dealing with, so hopefully he's getting over that, and he can fully enjoy this time off from us. This morning, we have a guest speaker. Brother Fred Agee is with us this morning. He will be bringing the message this morning. So I'm excited to hear what God has laid on his heart to present for us this morning. If you would, turn with me to your bulletins this morning. I'm just going to touch on a few of the announcements that are listed. The first one being tonight, we do have our small groups. Those of you that are part of a small group, we will be meeting at the different locations tonight. There is also service here tonight for some of the adults and teens. So whatever your different location is, that'll be at 6 o'clock tonight. Hopefully you're all prepared and ready for that. And then this Wednesday, we'll have regular scheduled service, as we always do, for our Bible study and our teens and children's gathering. Tonight, I do want to make mention there is children's quiz practice from 5:45 to 7:15. So if you have a child that is part of that, make certain they're here a little bit before 5:45 this evening for that. Then the ladies are going on retreat this coming Friday. Cafe Chocolat. From my understanding, there's going to be a ton of chocolate and hopefully some speakers that are going to be presenting, and the ladies will have a good time in retreat. That is this Friday through Sunday, so they will be gone Sunday morning. They'll be down in Branson. So be in prayer this week that they have a good time in fellowship and in the Lord this coming weekend. Next Sunday is the last Sunday of the month, so that means we will be having our dog's luncheon. For those of you that are unfamiliar with that is our Dinner on the Ground Society. It is
I'm playing Pastor Gary today.
Oh, if some of you are unfamiliar with that, Pastor Gary likes to interrupt. So this is Pastor Don.
I don't like
not interrupting.
I wouldn't interrupt you for anything,
of course not,
brother.
Of course not. Come ahead.
To the fact that our ladies and some of our cooks are going to be gone next Sunday, our dog's luncheon has been delayed for a month.
Oh, so we're going to postpone?
Till the end of next month.
Well, I guess that's...
And all of the visitors are invited for that dog's luncheon at the end of February.
All right.
And our ladies will be back to cook, so you'll receive the benefits of them being back, and everything will be under control.
You don't think the guys could handle that?
And Pastor Gary will be here to interrupt you again.
Okay. All right. So we'll make that adjustments in the announcements that next Sunday's Dogs Luncheon will be postponed. But for those of you that are visitors, that is our Dinner on the Ground Society, where I invite any of our guests to join us for lunch, and you guys get to go to the head of the line. So you have a full month to anticipate that. If you guys will join us for that last Sunday in February, we'll have that. Then if you have a newsletter item that normally goes into the monthly newsletter, you have till next Sunday to get those items in to the office. That way Sue can include those into the monthly newsletter. That is all the announcements I have. Just look to your bulletin for upcoming dates and times of the different events. If you would, go ahead and stand this morning. Find someone that you don't necessarily recognize. Introduce yourself and greet one another in the name of the Lord this morning. As you all make your way back to your seats, there is one thing that was handed to me this morning that I forgot to read to you all. And this is a thank you card. Thank you all who made goodies for Max and I. We've returned your containers. They're in the kitchen in the fellowship hall of the church. God bless you, Max and Sue Arnold. So that is a thank you for Max and Sue Arnold. For those of you that made some Christmas goodies for you, if you had a personal container that those items were in, those are in the kitchen in the fellowship hall for you all to pick up at your earliest convenience.
I have to apologize to you all for the differences that we've had to make during this month. We never were going to get back to church with all of the ugly weather we had, and then some of you were gone on trips, and just wanted to say how great it is to be back in the house of God. The only thing that happened during that time, I lost my voice, and when I talk for a period of time, I start coughing, and the more I cough, the harder it is for me to speak. And so today you're not going to have to put up with me. And so that's a welcome break. And be thankful for the blessings God sends your way every once in a while. We'd like to have our ushers come at this time. As we mentioned, we've had a a long break, and want to remind you that the expenses at the church go on whether we're here for services or not. And just be sure to be faithful. And I know you have been, and we're blessed. So God bless you as you bring your offerings into the storehouse. Brother Dan, would you come and ask God's blessings on our offering?
Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to just come before you and just be aware of your presence. Lord, we thank you for your blessings, and that we ask that you use what we give back that is once yours of us at all. Bless the service and touch each and every heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We're
Several reminders about prayer today. I have a card here from Dan and Chris Downing. They said, "We would like to thank our church family for all your calls and prayers and cards during the past week." And I think nearly all of you know that Brother Dan's mother passed away, and so we have been holding them up in prayer. We've been praying for Brother Ted back there, and he's back in the sound booth today. I think he's challenged some of the children to a race right after the services this morning as he recovers from that knee surgery. I don't know, is that still true, or you have that challenge out and going? You don't think so? Okay. I'm going to pass on that. Remind you of Sister Hazel, who took a fall in her home and has not been able to be back with us. I didn't see her here this morning. Brother Randy Gilmore and his wife Lynn are with us this morning. We say praise the Lord for answered prayer. We're glad you all are able to be with us. Max and Sue are back with us after the inclement weather and the difficulties that they've been having, and we want to continue to hold them up in prayer. Sister Helen Atnip is with us today and has an unspoken request. George Ann is recovering from surgery, and we thank God for answered prayer there. Then Carrie and Pastor Jill, the loss of his father, we want to continue to remember them. My wife, as you know, has had a struggle with some back problems and continues with that. I'd like for you to remember her and remember me and my voice and the services tonight. Tonight's going to be a special night. We're going to have the Nixa Nazarene Drama Group meet with us here tonight. And you need to come if you're not involved in one of the small groups to see what's going to happen. You probably have never heard the story of the Good Samaritan like you're going to hear it tonight. So we want you to be sure to come, if for nothing else, just to laugh at the players that are in this group and the production of it. And then remember Brother A.G. It's good to have Fred and Mildred with us. Brother A.G. is a former missionary and pastor. I think spent quite a few years down in Arkansas, didn't you, Brother?
Missionaries to Arkansas, yeah.
Missionaries to Arkansas. Right after they were missionaries there, they took Arkansas into the U.S. So you see, they made some real progress. Remember to pray for our country. And most of all, pray for souls that they could be won into the kingdom of God. Purpose for God's kingdom, the purpose for our church, is to reach people for Jesus Christ. And so let's keep that in mind today as we stand together for our prayer time. Just take a little time here, and I'm sorry, I should have already said this. Just take a minute or so for anyone that would like to pray around the altar this morning. We certainly invite you and have an open altar at this time during the pastoral prayer for anyone that would like to come. She prays just a short verse of this psalm.
Lord, we praise you.
Pray together. Heavenly Father, we are blessed today to be in your house. As we look around, we see many that have been absent because of weather and because of physical problems. And Lord, we give you thanks today. We're so blessed just to be able to sing your praises, just to think about the blessings that you've sent our way. For your healing touch on those that we've mentioned here today. And then for the continued healing that we believe you're bringing to those that we have mentioned. Lord, is this song part of this song we've just sung? We praise your name. We lift up the name of Jesus today. Lord, we pray for all of those that are ill and afflicted, those that have suffered loss. We pray, Lord, today for our country. Seems like there are many struggles, and Lord, a lot of families have no answers for the things that are going on right now. But we are so blessed to serve a God that has the answers for our hour and for our country. For our church, for our people, for those people that are lost, Lord, and undone, we lift them to you today. Father, our business is winning souls into the kingdom. Help us to keep that foremost in our hearts and minds. Lord, we pray for Brother Agee today as he speaks to us. Bless him, encourage his heart. He be lifted up and drawn to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Must have felt
When David stood to face Goliath on that hill, I imagine that he shook with all his might until you took his hand and held on tight. 'Cause you were there in the midst of danger's snare. You were there, always. You were there when the hardest fight seemed so out of reach. You were there, you were always there, you were always there. So there he stood upon that hill. Abraham, with knife in hand, was poised to kill. But God, in all his sovereignty, had bigger plans. And just in time, you brought a lamb. 'Cause you were there, in the midst of the unclear. You were there, always. You were there when obedience seemed to not make sense. You were there, you were always there, you were always. So haven't I learned that my ways aren't as high as yours are? You alone keep the universe from crumbling into dust. You are God, and though we would not have understood you, there you were, hanging blameless on a cross. 'Cause you would rather die than to leave us in the dark. Every moment, every planned coincidence just all makes sense with your last breath. You were there during history's darkest hour. You were there, always. You were the victor and the king. You were the power in David's swing. You were the calm in Abraham. You are the God who understands. You are the strength when we have none. You are the living Holy One. You are, and you will always be the risen Lamb of God. You are, and you will always be. You are, and you will always be the risen Lamb of God.
Thank you, Rhonda. It's my privilege to introduce to you Brother Fred Agee. He has God's message for us today. Pray for him as he comes. God bless you, Brother Agee.
and able to be in the house of the Lord. We pray for Brother Gary and his wife there as they're having this trip. I'm so glad that they've gotten to go. That's a wonderful trip, and they will come back with stories that you'll be interested in hearing. It'll be a great experience when they get back, too. So pray for them while they're away. Strange things happen overseas. Just pray for them. Keep them in your prayers. Look forward to their coming home. This morning, I invite you to turn with me to Daniel, chapter 3. One of my favorite stories, I think, in the Word is this little story here in the third chapter of Daniel. As a matter of fact, Daniel has so many interesting stories. I love the book of Daniel. I love to read it and preach from it and study it. It's remarkable, all of the things that God used these old timers for in the building of his kingdom. It's marvelous how God wants to use we young folks also, now timers, in the building of his kingdom. If we would be as submissive as they were. And that's the important thing. Daniel chapter 3, let's begin reading at verse 16 and read through verse 18 this morning. Would you like to stand as we read the word together? That way you're awake when I start preaching, see, and I can preach you to sleep then. That's the purpose of the preacher, isn't it? Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." Don't you appreciate these three young men? Remember, they were young fellows. I appreciate young people today. Don't know where the church would be without the young folks in our church. We just need more of them. Amen. Need more of them. God bless every one of them. Thank you. You may be seated. By and large, our overall ministry to others may be reduced periodically to just one person. And our ministries are administered just one at a time. The story out of this third chapter of Daniel hangs on this simple truth. The story simply stated is this. It was reported to King Nebuchadnezzar that three Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, had ignored a decree demanding that everyone bow down to this God that he had made, this image. He confronted these three young men. He wanted to know if it was really true. He also threatened them the fiery furnace. If they did not bow down, they would be thrown into the furnace. Now, Nebuchadnezzar liked these three guys. He didn't want to see them go into the furnace. I really think down deep in his heart, he wished he had not made that decree. But he'd already made. Whatever happened had to be carried out. They did not deny the report before the king. Neither did they yield to his decree. And the threat was carried out. The fact that they were miraculously delivered may not be the most important part of this story. The climax, it seems to me, comes at the point where these three men say, "Be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image that thou hast set up." Let me tell you what this audience of one man really witnessed that day. First of all, he saw faith in action. It's one thing to talk about our faith, but we need to put it into action. This account speaks of a faith that commands positive action. Faith that is not acted upon is not faith. Not really faith. There also come times when the most splendid declarations of faith is made not with the lips at all, but with our life. People are not listening to our words very much, but they sure are watching our life. My life, your life. They watch us every day. It is best that a man keep his mouth closed regarding his faith unless he's very sure that he will set upon what he says that he believes and live it every day, everywhere, in all circumstances. When the time came for these three men to declare themselves, they were asked not, "What do you believe?" but rather they were being asked in a very concrete, realistic way, "Does your faith command your loyalty? Does your faith elicit your absolute devotion? Does your faith have any real conviction behind it?" We need to ask ourselves that same question. How strong is our faith? How evident is our faith? The only positive thing that these men actually said was something such as, "If it be so, our God is able to deliver us." Their fate might be death. It might be deliverance. That wasn't the question to them. They would leave the results of that with God. Their testimony was, "We will not bow. We will not bend. We will not serve your God." Honey, we don't like to believe it, but we have to take that same stand ourselves in this day in which you and I are living. All around us, the world is tempting us to bow to their gods, whatever it might be. We must be strong, not abusive, not insulting, but take our stand for God. More like, "As for me and my house, we will serve God. Whatever the consequences, we will serve God because the God we serve is greater than all of the enemies that are out there to try to destroy him." But not only did Nebuchadnezzar see faith in action, he saw faith with conviction. I think we'll miss the point of the whole story if we see it only the example of life in scorn of consequences. Far deeper is this thought. There are times where I must act in accordance with a great inner conviction, not because I am courageously unafraid of facing the consequences, but because this is what's right. This is what God requires. This is what I must do. I cannot bear the thought of what my insincerity will do to that one person before whom I stand if I fail to let my testimony be real. We've heard lots of testimonies and braggadocious things on television and then see it fall apart. God wants us to let our faith be real and grounded in the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord of our life. It's one thing to talk about it, but the other more important thing is to so live it that we don't have to say a word. It's evidenced before the people that we meet day by day by day. How's your testimony? Is it a living example that God lives, dwells, reigns within our heart and life? Had these three men had only escape in their mind, they might have reasoned among themselves that bowing before a golden image could easily be done with mental reservations. Well, we know that we're not going to worship it. We're just going to bow down. We can do what the king says, but not really worship the image. Under such circumstances, we can get across to an unbelieving mind the validity of our faith. And the greater answer is by letting him see that we mean business in our faith. So they stood. Everybody else bowed. All the other priests bowed. But there were three young Hebrew men. Thank God for our young Christians that are coming along that dare to stand for what is right and true in this old world in which you and I are living. I am so thankful for the young Christians that are coming along. They're strong. Their faith reaches out and touches the very hem of the garment of God. And the wonderful thing is that God is with them and blessing them and keeping them. Is it easy for them? No. They're mocked by another, by the world. They're laughed at by their friends. Why won't you do this? Are you Mr. Better than we are? Is that who you are? It's terrible how the world is mocking our Christian young people today. But I'm glad for their strength in God that enables them to stand just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And God will see them through their particular furnace, whatever it might be. God will bring deliverance to them just as he did to these three Hebrew children. They had faith that made a real difference. But what difference can it really make for just one person or three people to stand for God? What does it really matter that we are just that one single individual? Nobody will notice. Honey, we're not out to please people. We're out to obey God. And God had told these three young men, don't bow down. Don't worship the golden image. Take your stand. And they did. It's wonderful how God has his angels to put their arms about us and protect us in times when we take our stand for God. God will see us through. Does that mean we won't be laughed at? No. Does that mean we won't be made fun of? No. Doesn't even mean that we won't be going to a cross. But it does mean that God is with us and he will see us through and give us faith to endure whatever comes along. God is with us, honey. He's standing right here beside us, sitting beside you. He is there. Wherever you go, whatever you do, whatever circumstance comes into your life. Faith made the difference for these young men. Faith that was sure, faith that was positive, faith that kept them in the most difficult times of their life. Just one man was the only persons they were witnessing to. One man. Oh yeah, he was a king. So what? Did that make him any better or different than anybody else? No. We get all wrapped up in position sometime. Oh, there comes somebody that's important. Who's that? The little beggar that's walking down the street? He's important. Don't overlook the importance of that man. Because in the eyes of God, we are all important. He died for everyone, not just a select few. If he died for just for the Nazarenes, honey, he died almost in vain. They ain't that many of us. Was it worthy? Worth it for him to die just for the Nazarenes? He would have. Because he died just for you. And he died just for me. Because he loved me. And he loves you. That's why it's so important that we live for him. The song starts out, I'll live for him who died for me. That ought to be our theme song, you know. Because he did. He died for me and for you. And the truth of the matter is, if it were necessary, he would do it again. But thank God it's not necessary. The blood that was shed at Calvary's cross is totally sufficient for every man and woman that lives. If we'll live for him, confess our sins, let him come into our heart and life and make us new creations in Christ Jesus. He has never said it wasn't worth it. Hallelujah for a Savior like that. Could I remind us this morning that there's somebody out there just waiting for you? Someone who needs you very much. And you know, it may be that whenever that one person sees the depth of your faith and the sincerity of your faith manifesting itself under strange and adverse circumstances, they will be greatly moved by the Spirit of God that's acting through you and me. We're the only instrument that God has to reach a world that needs him. Well, we'll let the pastors do it. Nope. Nope, it'll never get done that way. Every one of us are to be an example for Jesus Christ. Every day, where we go, where we live, where we work, where we play, we are to let our lives shine for Jesus Christ. And as a result of that one person and their life lived, who knows how many, many others will be touched because of your influence. Having lived close to the cross of Christ, letting his light shine through you, they would reach out and touch others. We are the only witnesses he has, honey. We are it. We are the only messengers that he has. The Christians that are living in this world today, we are it. Not every church member, that's not what it talks about. It's talking about every Christian, every believer, every person that's been born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. We are the only witnesses that is around. Well, we have the Bible. We can't even get Christians to read it, much less sinners. We are the only Bible lots of people ever read. And they're reading us every day. The Word says to you and me, let your light so shine before men that they may see Christ in you. Are we doing that? That's our assignment. That's our ministry. Are we letting our light shine in an old darkened world that needs the light of Jesus Christ to shine through us? That's our challenge. That's our responsibility. That's what we are to perform every day in our walk with Christ. Let our light shine. And let it shine for Jesus Christ. There's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They thought when they were thrown into that furnace, that was it, unless God came in and walked with them, and he did. And whatever our furnace might be today, God's walking with us. We may not escape the furnace, but he will see us through to the very end, just as he did these three Hebrew men. You believe that? We need to live that this very Sunday and tomorrow, Monday and Tuesday, the rest of our life, however long it may be. God has a plan for you, and that plan is to be an example of Jesus Christ. Stand with me, would you? Father, we are so glad that you love us. We don't know why you do, but you do. We're so glad that you loved us enough to go to a cross and die for us, that the blood that was shed there is totally sufficient for the sins of every man, woman, boy, or girl in this old world of ours. If we would simply come to you and let you apply the blood to our hearts and wash us, that we might be whiter than snow. Father, we thank you for the examples of men in your word that talk to us about how strong we can be in the power of God. Under the most difficult circumstances, we can still let our faith shine for you. Lord, we pray that none of us here or none of us anywhere we'll face a fiery furnace, but we have our own furnaces to face. The temptations, the struggles, wherever we may be, the devil's at work in our world today, but so is God. And we are so glad today that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Lord, help us to exemplify that through your holy word. And by being example for you, I pray in Jesus' name. Be with Pastor today. Give them a great trip. Bring them safely home. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great afternoon. Be back here tonight. It's a great service you got planned tonight. You'll